EFNJ, ITSJ, ETNP, IFSP. Not new abbreviations to use while you're texting. Not even new government agencies. These are different Myers-Briggs personality types. And until a couple of years ago, I had not much experience with personality types and how to determine these classifications about yourself. But I attended the College of Congregational Development in 2022 and 2023. And we worked with this program to better understand our own gifts and to recognize gifts in others for collaboration. If you're not familiar with Myers-Briggs, it is a personality test that categorized people into 16 different types. It was created during World War II by a mother and daughter team, and it assigns binary values to show you after you answer a series of questions. It is certainly not a concrete confirmation of your future success, as they say in all those ads, or a guarantee of future actions. But it does often show preferences and sometimes tendencies for different people. During one of the sessions that I attended at the college, a participant, as we were discussing Myers-Briggs scores and tendencies, slowly raised their hand, and she had a rather perplexed look on her face. When she was called on, she sort of started sheepishly and then said, "I just don't understand. Why would someone not want to put something on a calendar?" Everyone burst into laughter. I think very much in laughter with her as well, recognizing all of our own idiosyncrasies. Some of us loving calendars, and others of us running away from them. By the way, that is one of the characteristics of the last letter of the Myers-Briggs, a J or a P. Our co-leaders at the time explained in a lovely way that has stuck with me. A P person does not want to schedule things on a calendar because they want to leave room for unicorns and rainbows to show up. Our reading today from Paul to the Corinthians immediately made me think about Myers-Briggs types, unicorns, superpowers, collaboration, and our annual meeting today. Let me explain. Paul is writing to this newly formed church in Corinth. The church is one that Paul himself has set up, and he has an emotional and partly parental relationship with them. The letter points to struggles that the church has and growing pains that they encounter. And certainly, as happens when humans are together, there are disagreements. In the excerpt we heard today, Paul is giving the church an analogy, a very vivid image of how the church works, both facing inwards towards its members, as well as facing outwards towards society. And there is a feeling of building the airplane as they're flying it. In other words, there has not been a Christian church in Corinth before. Paul has not had a lot of experience in setting up these new churches, and they are encountering new problems regularly. Consequently, Paul gives this image of a human body. He explains that they need to get rid of this idea that things can be done piecemeal, bit by bit, but rather that we are all in, all the time. You can't choose to opt out because the body is made up of all the parts, even if a part doesn't choose to participate. It is impossible to get rid of your stomach or your nose. Every part is necessary. Paul also sort of inverts the Roman cultural belief of a hierarchical society where there is more human worth in those that hold the wealth and power at the top of the hierarchy. He argues that there is no body part more important than another, and all parts are needed in order to function properly. All the parts need each other. Now, I have to tell you, I don't always understand why certain readings are chosen for certain days. As a preacher, we're given our readings. They're assigned to us in a three-year cycle. But today's reading fits perfectly for an annual meeting. You see, this might surprise some of you, but your rector loves to wait for unicorns and rainbows to show up. Actually, she loves to leave space for the Holy Spirit. While your associate rector starts to have hives when the calendar is empty. And that is one of the things that we celebrate today, both in Paul's letter to the Corinthians and our annual meeting Sunday. We celebrate Church of the Resurrection as a functioning body. Now, I'm not about to assign body parts to anyone or any ministry groups, but the image feels very fitting for our church. Almost every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., your staff here at church gathers on Zoom for our weekly staff meeting. We discuss the past week, the past Sunday worship. We discuss upcoming events, pastoral issues that may have come up. Your staff is made up of Tracy Barber, Shannon Eng, Jack Barbin, Donald Schell, Martha Kuhlman, Kathy Trapani, Liz Tischner, and myself. And this is a pretty eclectic group. And that is the amazing part. Each staff member brings their own superpower to this group. The different parts of the body are taken care of while we work together and collaborate. And of course, we sometimes bump into differences of opinions. That is what humans do. But we recalibrate and we try again. And as to the unicorns and calendars, Liz and I, although our Myers-Briggs are almost opposite, we complement each other very well. We each have our own superpowers, and when we are particularly in sync, we are actually better together than we would be if we tried to do the same work apart. And so we have learned that we can schedule unicorns and rainbows and the Holy Spirit to make sure there's plenty of space for all of them to show up. And the staff is only a small part of this church body, as you have read or will read in the annual report. There are many acting parts of this body. Without the lay leadership here at church, very few things would be successful. And in addition, it takes many members' dedication in showing up and financially supporting this church to make the goodness that we find here as we worship together on Sunday mornings. And actually, our church just serves as a microcosm of our greater community. Our town, our state, our country, our world. And the image of the body still applies. We are dependent on each other. There is no part more important than another. And Paul reminds us that if one part suffers, the whole body suffers. And if one part is honored, we all rejoice together. This is the way that God has created it. Now, Paul does not go this deep into his analogy, but I would like to offer a further description of the body at work. As much as all the parts are needed, there also needs to be something to hold them all together. In the very last lines of Paul's reading today, he alludes to that, a better way, a greater way. And he will further go on to describe this as love. And love is what sustains the community. It is the glue that holds it together, and it is the energy that keeps it going. So in the center of this body, whether we think of it as the heart, the blood, the DNA, God is there making all of this possible. We see this every week as we gather around the altar and share communion together, standing shoulder to shoulder, God is the peace that holds it all together. Amen.